I'd ask Alderman Linsky if he could please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you, everyone.
This is a, I guess, sort of a regularly scheduled meeting of the Newton Board of Aldermen for Wednesday, April 20th. We are meeting due to the holidays, the Patriots holiday and Passover holiday. One thing I did neglect to do, I'd like to ask everyone if they could please stand for a moment of silence for Dr. Herbert Levine. This is the husband of former school committee member Nancy Levine, who passed away on April 14, 2011. Dr. Levine was a respected psychiatrist in private practice at the Mass General Hospital. I'd ask for a moment of silence in his memory. On our desks this evening, there are two memos. On your desks, there are two memos, both dealing with the demolition delay ordinance, item 235-10, and we will be given the budget books at the time that the mayor speaks about the fiscal year 12 budget. At this time, I'd like to begin the first call of reports, and I'll recognize the chair of the Land Use Committee, Alderman Hesmahan.
Thank you, Mr. President, and good evening. The report of the Land Use Committee begins on page 73 of the report's dockets. Docket item number 337-05 parens 2, new singular wireless by AT&T Mobility, Commonwealth House Trust, petition to amend special permit site plan approval extension of a nonconforming structure, number 337-05 granted on December 19, 2005 for 6 wireless antennae on the facade of a rooftop penthouse behind a faux brick stealthing by adding 3 additional antennae for a total of 9 antennae and to extend the faux brick stealthing at 209 Commonwealth Avenue, Chestnut Hill, Ward 7, on land known as SBL 63820, containing approximately 20,338 square feet of land in a district zoned multi-residence 1. Public hearing was held and closed, and the item was approved by a vote of 7-0. Docket item number 61-11, new singular wireless by AT&T Mobility, Andover Newton Theological School, petition for a special permit site plan approval to add 3 antennae to an existing array of 6 existing antennae in a rooftop with ancillary equipment located inside an adjacent building at 216 Herrick Road, Ward 6, on land known as SBL 651945, containing approximately 871,960 square feet of land in a district zone single residence 2. Public hearing was held and closed, and the item was approved by a vote of 6-0 with 1 abstaining. And that is the conclusion of the report for the Land Use Committee. However, I would ask to be recognized to schedule public hearings.
Please do so.
Thank you, Mr. President. Beginning on page 81 of the docket, we have public hearings to be assigned for May 10, 2011. Number 279-98 parens 2, Svetlana Ostrovskaya, petition to amend special permit site plan approval for an extension of a nonconforming structure. Number 279-98, granted on October 19, 1998, in order to construct an attached garage in the front setback onto an existing nonconforming single-family dwelling at 14 Roland Street, Ward 8, on land known as SBL 83336, containing approximately 14,819 square feet of land in a district zoned single residence 3. Item number 104-11, Heidi K. Gardner, petition for a special permit site plan approval to extend a nonconforming structure into the rear setback by expanding and enclosing an existing breezeway to create a mudroom, increasing the floor area ratio from 0.369 to 0.389 at 61 Park Avenue, Ward 7, on land known as SBL 73715, containing approximately 9,665 square feet of land in a district zoned single residence 2. Number number 105-11, Sarah F. Brown, petition for a special permit site plan approval to extend a non-conforming structure to construct an addition containing approximately 17 square feet into the side and rear setbacks and to add dormers wider than 50% of the walls below and closer than 3 feet from the end walls, which will increase the floor area ratio from 0.55 to 0.61, and to increase the non-conforming maximum lot coverage from 40.1% to 42.1% at 30 School Street, Ward 1, Newton Corner, on land known as SBL 11-25-32, containing approximately 1,671 square feet of land in a district zone multi-residence 2. That is the report of the Land Use Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next, we have the Zoning and Planning Committee, chaired by Alderman Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The report begins on page 74. Docket item 7-99, Alderman Parker requesting discussion of possible zoning amendments to create additional residential districts with different FAR and lot size requirements. This was voted no action necessary, 6-0. Docket item 154, that was the held. Okay, sorry. Going on to page 75, docket item 235-10, Alderman Baker Yates on behalf of the Newton Historical Commission requesting updates to section 22-50, demolition of historically significant buildings or structures to minimize inconveniences to homeowners, proposing modest changes and to enhance protections for historic structures proposed for demolition, with specific amendments designed to B, establish a minimum period of delay for full demolition if the structure is found to be preferably preserved, and C, extend the existing period of delay and as has occurred in other communities for structures proposed for full demolition if the structure is found to be preferably preserved. This item was approved 5 in favor, 1 opposed, and 1 abstention. The correct wording is in the committee report on page 7, so for people who haven't read that. Docket item 65-11, Terrence P. Morris and Joseph Porter proposing an amendment to the zoning ordinance to change the definition of height with a commitment increase in the height to the pre-1997 limits to make height exceptions in accessory buildings subject to special permit rather than a variance. No action necessary, 7-0. 17-11, Terrence P. Morris, Joseph Porter, Bruce Bradford, George Collins, Vern T. Porter, Jr., and Michael Purse proposing an amendment to the zoning ordinance for the purpose of changing the definition of grade plane and adding a new definition for average grade, and this was passed. No action necessary, 7-0. And that ends the report this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You also have a late file docket item on page 82. I ask for a suspension of the rules to accept that referral docket.
I'd like a suspension of the rules for a late filed item.
Motion has been made and seconded by Alderman Yates to suspend the rules to accept the late filed docket item. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Please do so.
And you're referring to 154-10, parens 2?
Yes.
Zoning and Planning Committee requesting to amend Section 30-1 definitions by inserting revised definitions for lot line and structure for clarity. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That will be part of the referral docket. Excuse me. Next, we have the Programs and Services Committee, chaired by Alderman Johnson. Excuse me, Alderman Santiago.
Thank you, Mr. President. The report begins on page 75. The first item to report out is item number 70-11, appointment by His Honor the Mayor, Susan Roberts, of 250 Hammond Pond Parkway, 404 South. Chestnut Hill, appointed to the Commission on Disabilities for a term of office to expire on June 30, 2012. That was approved by a vote of 8-0. The next item is item number 71-11, appointment by His Honor the Mayor, Rosemary Larking, 1600 Washington Street, Unit 117, Auburndale, appointed to the Commission on Disabilities for a term of office to expire on June 30, 2013. That was approved by a vote of 8-0. The report continues on page 76. The next item is item number 72-11, appointment by His Honor the Mayor, Ginny Fairley of 80 Rowena Road, Newton Center, appointed to the Commission on Disabilities for a term of office to expire on June 30, 2013. 2013. That was approved by a vote of 8-0. The next item is item number 82-11, reappointment by His Honor the Mayor of Paul Eldrin Camp of 667 Sawmill Brook Parkway, Newton Center, reappointed to the Board of Trustees of the Jackson Homestead for a term of office to expire on February 1st, 2013. That was approved by a vote of 8-0. The next item is item number 83-11, reappointment by His Honor the Mayor Karen Haywood of 69 Walker Street, Newtonville, reappointed to the Board of Trustees of the Jackson Homestead for a term of office to expire on February 1st, 2013. That was approved by a vote of 8-0. The next item is item number 84-11, reappointment by His Honor the Mayor, Lynn Sullivan of 74 Fountain Street in West Newton, reappointed to the Board of Trustees of the Jackson Homestead for a term of office to expire on February 1st, 2013. That was approved by a vote of 8-0. And the next item is item number 79-11, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate the sum of $235,232 from the 2010 to 2011 E-rate reimbursement funds for the purpose of upgrading school technology. That was approved by 8-0. All other items were held except for the one on second call.
Great. Well, Alderman Santangelo, I believe you also have a late file docket item on page 83, item 114-11, if you could suspend the rules to allow that to be referred on the referral docket, on the new docket, page 83.
I'm sorry, you want me, so you want a suspension of the rules?
Motion has been made and seconded to suspend the rules to allow for a late file docket item. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Rules have been suspended. Please read that into the records.
Item number 114-11, Alderman Hesmahan, proposing to amend section 3-26, parens A, parens 2 of the revised ordinance to update the list of currently designated tot lots which dogs are prohibited from entering.
Thank you very much. Next we have the Public Safety and Transportation Committee chaired by Alderman Ciccone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Report begins at the board on page 77. 98-11, His Honor the Mayor requesting the creation of a full-time police officer position to raise a complement of officers from 139 to 140 officers from May 1st, 2011 to July of 2011 to address the deployment of a police officer to Afghanistan. That was approved 6-0. The next docket item, 101-11, I would ask for suspension of the rules so I can put this out on first call rather than hold it for second call. The information was given to the Finance Committee.
The Chairman has asked for suspension of the rules so he can poll his committee to vote this item out on first call, as I believe the information they were waiting for was provided to the Finance Committee for their vote. So a motion's been made and seconded. All in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Please poll your committee, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's 101-11, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend $225,000 from free cash for the purpose of supplementing the Fire Department overtime account. Can I just get a poll from the Public Safety and Transportation Committee? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, full complement, 8-0. And the last item is on page 78, 113-08. The Planning Department requesting a presentation and discussion of the Newton Corner Phase 2 study to be conducted by the Central Transportation Planning staff. And that was voted 7-0. And that concludes the report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next, we have the Public Facilities Committee, chaired by Alderman Schnepper.
Thank you, Mr. President. The report begins on page 78, 86-11, Comcast of New England, petition for grant of location to install approximately 180 feet of conduit southeasterly from new service vault located behind the sidewalk in front of 181 Wells Avenue in order to provide Comcast service to 189 Wells Avenue. That was approved 6-0. 214-10, parens 4, Commissioner of Public Works requesting abandonment of 80 feet of the 80-foot building setback line along Boylston Street, Route 9, located on the property at 200-230 Boylston Street, now known as Chestnut Hill Square, established by board order
100483, dated December 3rd, 1951, as it conflicts with the proposed building locations shown on plans related to Special Permit Board Order 214-10, dated 12-6-10. That was approved 7-0. 214-10 parens 3, Commissioner of Public Works, in accordance with Massachusetts General Law, Chapter 40, Section 15, requesting abandonment of certain city water and drain utility easements located on that property, 200-230 Boylston Street, as well as relocation of water and drain utilities, utility lines, and acceptance of related water and drain utility easements. That was approved as amended 6-0. That concludes the report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Next, we have the Finance Committee, chaired by Alderman Gentile.
Thank you, Mr. President. The finance report begins on the top of page 79. First item is 79-11, is honor the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate the sum of $235,232 from the 2010-2011 E-rate reimbursement funds for the purpose of upgrading school technology. This item was approved by a vote of 6-0. 101-11 is honor the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and expend $225,000 from free cash for the purpose of supplementing the fire department overtime account. This item was approved 7-0. Next item is 78-10, Alderman Fuller, Gentile, Friedman, Johnson, Danberg, and Baker requesting a review of the elements of the financial management guidelines of January 2008 together with the mayor's office to ensure they meet the current needs of the city. This item was approved by a vote of 7-0. Next item, 207-07, parens 4, Alderman Colletti, proposing that the city's financial management guidelines be amended to allow the adjustment of self-funded health insurance plan rates. This item was voted no action necessary, 7-0. Docket item 207-07, parens 2, Alderman Colletti proposing the city's financial management guidelines be amended as follows. Total resources devoted to all forms of employee compensation shall not exceed estimated growth in general revenue. B, funds for salary and wage adjustments shall not exceed the difference between the total estimated growth and resources needed to fund growth in health, dental, and life insurance benefits. And C, if collective bargaining contracts are not resolved at the time of the budget submission, funds budgeted for such contracts be held in municipal reserves. This item was voted no action necessary, and the final item is on second call. I move the report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next, we have the Real Property Reuse Committee, chaired by Alderman Danberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's no report.
Thank you. Next, we have the Post Audit and Oversight Committee, chaired by Alderman Swiston.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is nothing to report. Thank you.
Thank you. Last, we have the Committee on Community Preservation, chaired by Alderman Albright.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's no report.
Thank you. Is there any other business before the board on first call this evening? Seeing none, I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll on the first call of reports, and then we are going to be have an escort committee that will escort the mayor in to give his fiscal year 12 budget presentation. At this time, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll on the first call of reports.
Alderman Albright.
Aye.
Alderman Baker.
Aye.
Alderman Cleese.
Aye.
Mr. Coney.
Aye.
Alderman Crossley.
Aye.
Alderman Danberg.
Aye.
Alderman Fishman. Alderman Friedman.
Aye.
Alderman Fuller.
Aye.
Alderman Gentile.
Aye.
Alderman Harney.
Aye.
Alderman Hesperhan.
Aye.
Alderman Johnson.
Aye.
Alderman Lappin.
Aye, with the exception of 235-10 on page 75, for which I vote no.
Alderman Linsky.
Aye.
Alderman Merrill.
Aye.
Alderman Rice. Alderman Salvini.
Aye, with the exception of 235-10 on page 75, for which I vote no.
Alderman Sangiolo.
Aye.
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 President Lennon.
Aye, with the exception of item 235-10 on page 75, in which I vote no.
The vote on all items except for 235-10 is 23 yeas with one absent. For 235-10, the vote is 20 yeas, 3 nays with one absent.
Okay, all items on first call carry. At this time, I'm going to put together a escort committee to escort the mayor into the chamber. I'd like to ask Alderman Johnson to please chair this committee, along with President Emeritus Baker, Alderman Swiston, and Alderman Ciccone. I'd also ask that they please be joined by two of our school committee colleagues, school committee member Sue Rosenbaum and school committee member Margie Ross-Dechter, if they could. While we're waiting for them to escort the mayor into the chamber, I just did want to remind my colleagues and everyone here that this meeting is being both audio and video recorded. I would also like to recognize, I do see some former colleagues and colleagues in government in the audience. I do see our former colleague and Vice Finance Committee Chair Alderman Colletti, who's in the back of the room. And I also see former School Committee Chair Mark Laredo is here, former School Committee Chair and Head of our Health and Human Services, Dori Zalesnik. And I also see Jeff Epstein, School Committee Member from Ward 1. And I know I saw Jonathan Yeo earlier. He's here. All right, John. Sorry about that. And I know I'm probably missing someone, so I'm not going to do all the department heads. We'll be here till 11. So where's Rini? Oh, she's so short. I didn't see her. Sorry. And Rini Murphy, school committee member for Board 2. Are you sitting on a phone book?
Mr. President?
I'm teasing you. You know I love you. You know I love you, Rini.
Mr. President?
Yes, Alderman Santiolo.
Are the board members going to receive a copy of the budget?
The board members, I am told, are going to receive a copy of the budget towards the end of the mayor's speech. That's what I am told.
So before we get into second call?
Before we get the second call, yes. I guess the motive was that we wanted to make sure that everyone was listening to the mayor as he gave his address rather than flipping through all the pages. So, all right. At this time, I see that our escort committee has joined us in the chamber, and I'd like to recognize Alderman Johnson. Good evening. Honorable members of the Board of Aldermen, School Committee Vice Chair Rini Murphy, School Committee members Margie Ross-Dechter, Sue Rosenbaum, Jonathan Yeo, Jeff Epstein, department heads, employees, family, friends, and fellow citizens. Thank you to President Scott Lennon and Vice President Cheryl Lappin for inviting me here to share my FY12 budget. When I first ran for mayor, I did so promising three basic things. One, putting Newton's fiscal house in order by zero-basing our budget and eliminating duplication, waste, and programs that don't work. I said we must address our biggest cost drivers, like health insurance by moving to the state's GIC or renegotiating our current plan. And we must plan for the long term, putting money aside for vital maintenance and addressing the escalating cost of health care. Two, preserve the excellence of our public school system, emphasizing what happens in the classroom, ensuring we attract, develop,
and retain quality teachers, and our class sizes are as small as possible. 3, bringing openness and accountability back to municipal government. I am so pleased that with the help of all of you and the hard work of my staff and department heads, this budget once again delivers on those promises. The budget reflects some very compelling and painful realities. We faced great challenges this year, including significant cost pressures and revenue reductions. We lost approximately $360,000 in unrestricted aid and $1.8 million in federal education stimulus funding. The cost for energy, pensions, salary, and health care burdens well exceeded our 3% annual revenue increase. $2 million of the $9.5 million of new revenue was required to fund increased retiree pension and health insurance costs. 72% of the remaining $7.5 million of new revenue was allocated to the school department. Despite the additional $5.3 million in resources, the school department, under the leadership of Superintendent David Flashman, had to close an additional $4.4 million gap. On the municipal side, we had to close a $3.5 million gap. I want to take a few moments to discuss both how we closed these gaps and the principles that guided us. However, as I said, this and every budget I submit is more than just a math exercise and reflects much more than the allocation of city revenue. It reflects our goals and our values as a community. People from all walks of Newton life, city employees, residents, department heads, elected officials, all contributed to the building of this year's budget. The city CFO, Maureen Lemieux, worked very closely with school's chief administrative officer, Sandy Gurian, in an unprecedented level of collaboration and ingenuity. The school committee, superintendent, and board of aldermen all participated in working sessions with me to come to agreement on what would work and what wouldn't. And hundreds of residents contributed their ideas and communicated their priorities: protect public safety, preserve educational excellence, and they gave a clear indication of how they would prefer we make difficult choices, increase both municipal and school fees, but protect city services, class size, and breadth of program. The result is a plan that points us in a new direction, toward a fiscally responsible operating model that will enable us to preserve those priorities and make Newton the remarkable community it is. Despite our challenges, there is much to be proud of in this budget. I regret that we're losing several valued employees, but for a second year in a row, we have not laid off a single police officer or firefighter, and we're working hard to keep teachers in the classroom. In addition, we have preserved our AAA bond rating when many communities have not, and we have maintained a strong commitment to excellence in the delivery of city services. So here's what you will see as you read this budget and hear the testimony over the next few weeks of those who prepared it and will make it work. First, we are actively pursuing over $1 million in additional revenue by working hard with the Board of Aldermen to redevelop the underutilized site on Route 9 known as Chestnut Hill Square, which we hope will come online later this year. This is the first of several exciting development projects I hope to announce over the next few years, each of which will bring new vitality and tax revenue to our community. Second, we saved over $3 million by bringing a level of business acumen and sensible financial planning to our operations. We aggressively pursued FEMA reimbursements to cover costs expended by the city for the March floods of 2010 and the significant snowstorms of this past winter. We worked with the state to restructure our loans and have postponed new bonding until projects are ready to go. We've prioritized check posting to collect additional interest income and negotiated an agreement to maintain compensating balances with banks to reduce fees. We are realizing continued savings through the outsourcing of our food service, and as I mentioned in my State of the City address in January, we are at the same time realizing savings by insourcing some of our legal and project management work. We don't take a cookie-cutter approach anywhere. We ask ourselves, what will make the services we provide faster, better, and at the same time, cheaper? Third, we continue to apply zero-based approach to everything we do and found another $1 million in savings on the municipal and school sides. All department heads have been truly engaged in this year's budget process and have taken ownership for each and every funding request they make. No opportunity to do things smartly and cost-effectively is too trivial to overlook. We are particularly aggressive in looking for ways to reduce internal administrative costs by streamlining and automating existing processes. We have expanded our use of technology when dealing with our city's commercial enterprises, thereby saving time and money in the administration of health inspections, building permits, inspectional services, and licensing. We have continued to increase information on our website, particularly in the Treasury and Assessing departments, thereby significantly decreasing phone calls and counter traffic in these areas, once again enabling us to reduce administrative staff. Fourth, our performance management team has been hard at work with virtually every department, mapping and enhancing processes, using metrics to identify improvement opportunities, and to hold staff and management accountable for service excellence. Purchasing shortened mail delivery time, and we saved one position. Assessing streamlined its excise processing function, making information available quicker. DPW streamlined its street sweeping process by flexing its workforce during the most critical times of the year. Work has begun to consolidate our scattered and inefficient paper-bound payroll system and administrative functions like this throughout the city, and the schools have been streamlined or even eliminated in this area. These are just some of the examples that are abound and are reflected in more than $1 million in savings. I encourage everyone to check out our CityStat webpage where you can see our metrics and watch our improvement. Once again, we've made a strong commitment to both energy savings and environmental responsibility. Newton was designated a green community by the state, one of the first in the Commonwealth, and we have reaped thousands and hundreds of dollars of savings from conservation and recycling techniques, and there's still much more that we can do. Unfortunately, this rigorous and thoughtful effort was not enough to close the entire revenue gap we faced. And so we were forced to make some very difficult choices, particularly on the school side. First, we have reduced or eliminated a few very cherished programs. No one likes to see programs change, but our school personnel have been very deliberate and thoughtful in their approach, using a scalpel rather than a hatchet. In addition, we will be levying just over $1 million in fees. We don't do this lightly and recognize the burden it will place on some families. But it is an approach that provides the greatest flexibility and equity impacting those who benefit from our programs rather than everyone overall. As a result of this work, we've essentially preserved average class size in the elementary and middle schools, and I agree with our school committee chair, Claire Sokoloff, who said our children will once again receive a strong education, arguably the best in the state. One thing I've made clear to the school committee, and I would like to make clear to the board and to all of our residents this evening, all additional revenue secured from the state will be allocated to the schools. It's hard to say where things will wind up, but the good news last week is that the House passed the governor's education package, and if the Senate does the same, we could realize more than a half million dollars that might be used to restore some programs. But most importantly, this budget tells the story of a city that is renewing itself. This would not be possible if we had not decided to work together to move in a new direction. We have put new standards in place, demanded better performance from each of our city departments, and have given managers and employees better tools to perform, while providing transparency for public oversight. This is the city government we discussed when I ran for mayor and the one we work on every day here in City Hall. Our future depends on a relentless emphasis on optimization and efficiency. Whether closing building sections in the winter to save heat, moving to a common car fleet, posting payments to increase earned interest, or using electronic notification for payroll deposits, we are leaving no stone unturned to minimize waste and eliminate duplication. We now forecast on a five-year rolling basis. We use strategic procurement to get the best deals, and we put everything out to bid. Our new 311 phone and web-based system allows residents to quickly and easily place requests and track the work being done. Our performance management system, CityStat, drives improved communication and processes through metrics and mapping and provides residents with online information about our progress. If we are to truly change and put ourselves on a fiscally responsible footing, then we must change our operations, our processes, our structure, and perhaps most, our operating culture. Our future also depends on getting our labor costs, particularly healthcare, under control. To that end, I have been working almost continuously since last fall to forge new agreements with all of our unions. They have been active and sincere partners in those negotiations because they recognize that we must both preserve collective bargaining and significantly lower our costs. Once again, I want to reiterate my commitment to collective bargaining as a means of achieving both our financial goals as well as respecting the dignity and hard work of our city employees. I expect to announce meaningful change in the very near future. As your mayor, I place great emphasis on planning operational efficiency, preserving educational excellence, and promoting transparency and accountability, all to once again engender trust in city government. We may face more tough decisions ahead. However, I'm convinced the most responsible approach is to share information openly, work together to determine our priorities, spend only what we have, and at the same time preserve what we value the most. That is our path to fiscal sustainability, and that is the new direction, the very important story unfolding here in the city of Newton. Thank you, and I look forward to continue to work with you.
The
I'd like to thank Mayor Warren for coming here this evening to present his budget. At this time, I will ask our escort committee to please reconvene so we can escort him back to his office, and the board will stand in a 2-minute recess.
Mr. President, I'd like to request a longer recess since the mayor's budget will be distributed.
How long would you like, Alderman Sangiello?
Another 3 minutes. 5 minutes.
So 5 minutes? Okay, the board will stand in. My motion has been amended to stand in recess for 5 minutes.
Will that give them enough time?
Yes,
to...
and we'll ask Megan if we can get the budget books, please, passed out. I'll ask the Vice President to see if she could round up some of our colleagues. We do have one item on second call. I am. But it's really only usually good for the committee rooms. I'm worried about you and you, because you're going to report on the item, so...
Well, the way that that is going to discourage people from taking it out of here.
Yeah. I'd ask my colleagues to please take their seats. We have one item on second call. Okay. At this time, I'd like to recognize Alderman Sangiello to give the report of the Programs and Services Committee. The only item we have on second call, folks, is item 20708. On page 80 of the report's docket. At this time, I will recognize Alderman Sangiello.
Thank you, Mr. President. Item number 207-08, Alderman Brandel and Sangiello, proposing that the following question be put before the Newton voters. Shall the City of Newton be allowed to exempt from the provisions of Prop 2.5 the amounts required to pay for the bond issuance in order to fund the Newton North High School? In Programs and Services, that was approved by a vote of 4-3 on March 9th, really? 2011.
Okay. At this time, I'll recognize the Chairman of Finance, Alderman Gentile.
Thank you, Mr. President. The item was taken up at the Finance Committee meeting of April the 11th. Basically, the discussion centered most on the timing of a debt exclusion override. And while the vote was eventually one in favor with six in opposition, during the discussion, it was acknowledged that the possibility of a debt exclusion override should certainly enter into the discussion for future infrastructure projects, because we all realize, like many cities and towns, that the city has tremendous infrastructure needs, and that if we are going to try and address those in a timely way, that this is one option that should be on the table for discussion and possible presentation to the voters. But as is indicated by the vote of one in favor and six opposed, it was the overwhelming opinion of the committee that it was not a good idea to go and retrospectively ask for a debt exclusion override on a project that is nearing completion for which there is a funding plan in place. So that was really just about the entire conversation about the timing of the Newton North project versus future projects. And again, as I said, there was one in favor 6 opposed. And at this time, I would like to substitute the programs and services report for the finance report, since programs and services was an affirmative vote. That way, when we ultimately vote on this, a yes vote would be in favor of placing the item on the ballot and a no vote would be opposed. So I would make that motion.
Okay, the chairman has made a motion similar to what we did with the, I believe it was the snow clearing item, folks. We made a motion to substitute the affirmative vote of the Programs and Services Committee for the Finance Committee report so that when we do ultimately vote it out, as he had just said, an approval vote would be yay and a denial vote would be nay. A motion has been made to substitute. Is there a second? Second. Is there any discussion on the item? All in favor of the substitution will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We are now discussing, we will now open the item, which is an approval vote, open for discussion. Is there anyone that would like to talk on item 20708? Alderman Hesmahan.
I wasn't sure whether the maker of the docket item had her hand up. Thank you.
She's saving up.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be brief. The other night, I think I made my feelings known when we had the school committee and the administration in front of us, how unhappy I am with the budget. I know that my good friend, the chairman of finance, suggested I sounded like Chicken Little saying the sky was falling, but I prefer to think it sounded a little bit more like the little kid who says the emperor has no clothes. I'm very unhappy with that budget, and a large part of the reason is because of the debt service that we have to pay for Newton North. The chair of finance rightly states that at the time it was proposed that there would be a funding plan in place which would be adequate to fund the capital expenses and the debt expense for paying off the bonds to build the Newton North. However, I think it is prudent to point out at this point that for every funding plan, there are always a series of assumptions that are made. And in this particular instance, a number of those assumptions included a certain amount of state aid that we'd be receiving in terms of local aid and Chapter 70 funds, and as well as other sources of revenue. And I think we all know that we're experiencing one of the worst economic downturns, maybe hopefully coming out of one of the worst economic downturns since the Great Depression. So in my humble opinion, we don't have enough money to pay for the operating budget that we ought to have. We are going to be imposing an additional $1.1 million in fees on public school parents. There's no corresponding fee that's going to be on the other side for municipal services this year. We're making a lot of cutbacks on the school side that are affecting, in my humble opinion, they're not consistent with the vision for the superior quality of public education that we ought to be providing here in Newton. At the time when we were voting on whether to construct and whether to fund the bond issue for the Newton North construction project, a number of us were concerned that coupling that with the debt exclusion would muddy the water somewhat. But we always, at least a number of us, myself included, always said that we were open to taking it up at a later time. I think the later time is now. I think it's entirely appropriate when we know exactly how much this project is going to cost. And we have a cap on it. We have the construction manager at risk model so that if there is an overrun in the budget, it's going to be eaten by the construction manager and not the city. So I also ought to point out that if we do authorize the debt exclusion, it doesn't mean we have to levy to the limit. We could use it prudently and only use it whenever we needed it to fill gaps in the budget, which is what the capital stabilization fund was intended to do. But the capital stabilization fund and the funding plan that's in place, make no mistake about it, is inadequate. So I'll be voting for this. So at least put it on the ballot so that people have the opportunity to vote up or down on it.
Thank you, Alderman Hesmahan. Alderman Schnipper.
When we embarked on the program to redo South and to what at the time we believed was to redo North,
I fought very hard for a debt exclusion because I believed it was one of the rare times when we truly had a citywide project that we could build support for. That was not to be. In retrospect, perhaps more people would have fought for it. But one of the things I have learned, much to my dismay, in addition to the fact that I can't extend a day and put more than 24 hours in it, is that we cannot go back in that sense. I cannot support this because putting something on the ballot doesn't make sense unless you can run a campaign to support it. And running a campaign on something which is historical doesn't make any sense to me at this point in time. I think we have to think very seriously about debt exclusions in order to be able to go forward to do the work on our elementary schools that we all know desperately needs to happen and hopefully will be happening over the next couple of years. You build support by choosing items throughout the city, creating a campaign, and working towards it. I can't support this because these issues, although we still are paying the bills for them, they're resolved. You're not going to find a group of people out there to commit a year of their life to run this campaign. To put something on the ballot that you therefore know will go down doesn't build the culture of approving overrides that I desperately hope will eventually come to Newton, as it has to many of the communities that we compare ourselves to. So I will be voting no.
Thank you. Alderman Albright.
I would agree with Alderman Schnipper that, you know, there are many of us who felt that a debt exclusion override years back would have been the right way to go, but that, as she stated, that wasn't to happen. What most worries me is opening up old wounds. This is a city that went through some hard times, and the hard times were focused a lot around that high school. And I don't think those wounds have healed yet, and I don't want to reopen them. I work outside the city, and there are many people from Newton who live, who work where I do, and there isn't a day almost that doesn't go by that people don't say something about the high school and, you know, how nice it is, but how much it costs. And I think we need to let it rest. I think we need to let it go. And we desperately do need debt exclusion overrides to work on the elementary schools. I mean, we desperately need that. And unfortunately, I think we have to let this one go.
Thank you, Alderman Albright. Alderman Blazer.
Yes, I'd just like to agree with what Alderman Albright and Alderman Schnipper said. I thought the handling of the financial aspect of the high school got uncontrollable somewhere around 2004 and 2005 when the price kept escalating. And I was somebody who felt strongly that a debt exclusion override or even a Proposition 2.5 override should have been done at that time. And the voters should have been given the option of whether they wanted to spend what's going to turn out to be about $250 million, including principal and interest, over 30 years for that high school. Whether you wanted it or didn't want it, I always felt that the citizens of the city should have had the right to vote on that. And that never happened, which I was very disappointed with, frankly, the alderman not being on the board at that time. I guess it may be easier for me to say this now, but I was very disappointed on that. I agree with Alderman Hess Mahan that the city faces some serious problems in the educational sphere, but I strongly feel that to go back and try to vote an override, a debt exclusion override on this issue is going to be counterproductive to people who want to spend more money on the schools, because down the road we're going to have to figure out a way to get a lot more money. The state of the elementary schools, as we know, is not good. You knew that 5 or 6 or 7 years ago when the high school costs kept escalating. This wasn't a secret at the time that the schools were in desperate need of help, that the roads are in desperate need of help. And I think that to really go back and open up this topic is really going to be poisonous for the city. It's not going to be something which is going to pass, and it's going to hurt future attempts at that exclusion override. So I voted against this in committee, and I strongly urge people to vote against it here.
Thank you, Alderman Blazer. Next I have Alderman Swiston. Sorry, Alderman Swiston.
Thank you. I know we need to provide some response if we're going to be voting against this. And I just feel in this particular case, again, I do believe the correct use of a debt exclusion override is for a project that, if the debt exclusion doesn't happen, equates with the project not happening, this that being a true choice for the citizenship. I don't think this is the right time to be asking for this. I think it was a financial mistake that we have made, and we're going to have to live with it for now.
Thank you. Alderman Linsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate it. I can't disagree with the assessments that have been made from a political perspective by a number of my colleagues in terms of residual feelings about Newton North. However, I guess I would say, and I was pleased that the Chairman of Finance indicated this as reflected in our discussion the other night about this, because I did support this item in both committees, and I intend to support it tonight as well, that perhaps we are coming to one mind that, you know, the need for debt exclusions going forward is critical. We listened to the mayor earlier this evening, and I think this mayor has dedicated himself to a new view in controlling our operating budget as is contained here. And there's frankly a lot of, it's a huge challenge, I think, going forward for us to maintain our operating budget for the services that we want without the need for an operating override. And I think if we're really committed to that as a city, then I think that we really have to be seriously committed to a program going forward that will include debt exclusions. And the reason I support that isn't because Newton North is, you know, is politically popular, but rather because it is time, long since time, and this item was docketed 3 years ago, to put this right before the citizens so that they know that it isn't really a question of whether, this is really a question of when and how. And we have many projects, I think, for which presently it's appropriate, and I think particularly about the fire station, so which we're midstream in. I would also point out, and people can appreciate from our recent discussions relative to, on the school side, to the Day Middle School and the modulars, we are trying to squeeze dollars to try to do things that are immediate needs, and the reality is that, you know, we don't even have that. We are not going to be able to do all the modulars that have, for which there are immediate needs to meet, present enrollment figures that we know, and to do what we need to do in Day Middle School. So the point about this is that it isn't, I don't know if it's going to be enough going forward on a project-by-project basis to do debt exclusions per project. And also, as Alderman Swiston indicated, you know, you take the risk, so to speak, about the, so the people will go ahead with the project. One of the advantages to some extent, while people say, well, you're really revisiting something that's old, is that it is done. People know what it is. And it's not going to, you know, the project's not going to go forward if the vote doesn't go down. Obviously, the school is there and will be there regardless of how the voters vote on this. But voting on this will give us a tremendous amount of abilities to do something beyond what individual project by project debt exclusions going forward will be. And I give an example of Day, because I don't think that we would necessarily be going out on a debt exclusion on very small things. We have such a large need with so many other schools that the reality is we'll have to pick off the larger ones. So the long show of it, Mr. President, is that even if we were to pass this, and even if we were to go to the levy on this, and as was indicated earlier, we don't really have to, because after all, when the issue did go before the voters on the issue of the site plan approval, at that time what was represented to the voters was that the project was somewhere in the $140 to $145 million range, when in fact, of course, as we know, there was an additional $50 million when all was said and done. So there really was, in all honesty, at least that amount that was somewhat unaccounted for that we could go back to. So even if we went to the limit, the effect on the current tax rates is approximately 42 cents per thousand, which would be less than $300 for the average single-family house. That's if we went to the levy. We are certainly open, and I would think at least passing it to give the mayor an opportunity to come back to us and say what figure, if any, he would be comfortable with is worth doing. And even though, again, it's 3 years old, it couldn't be more timely now, and I would think that I will be voting in support as a voice of how we can go forward in a real way to meet our capital needs. And I really think that that's what the citizens of this community want us to do, to take the leadership to go forward. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Alderman Linsky. Next I have Alderman Fuller, then Sangiolo, then Danberg.
I would like to associate myself with the comments of Alderman Schnipper and the others that have risen already to say that they will be voting against this. I will not repeat their comments. I do agree with everything that has been said. The only additional idea that I will add to it is that I look forward to a serious analysis of prospective debt exclusion overrides for elementary schools like Anger and fire stations, et cetera. If one voted yes tonight, which I will not be doing, one is in essence approving a 26-year operating override and increasing the operating budget. It would not be clear at all what that debt service, which ranges from $7 to $9 million many of the years, would actually be used for. It would just go into the operating budget, and we as on the Board of Aldermen and the voters would have no way of knowing what those funds would be used for. I am comfortable in the future analyzing debt exclusion overrides when we can think through exactly what the funds will be used for, or in the future if we want to analyze an operating override and understand exactly how much money we need and for what. That is another piece of analysis I would look forward to. I will not be voting for this tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Fuller. Next I have Alderman Sangiolo.
Thank you, Mr. President. First, I want to thank Alderman Kenneth Mahan for his very eloquent speech regarding the Senate's support for this. I know it probably wasn't an easy decision to come to, but given the state of our city right now, and particularly the school budget that we were presented with the other night, I can see why he would think that this might be the best way to go. I'm not going to go through all the different reasons why I think this is the right thing to go, the right approach to take dealing with this debt service. I mean, I think that if we vote against putting this on the ballot or vote against not dealing with the debt service and the impact that it has on our operating budget, we're basically saying it's okay. It's okay to take $9.5 million this year, which is going to be subsidized by, I think, the mayor's budget, which is why I wanted the mayor's budget, is using $4.8 million from the capital stabilization accounts to subsidize that. So the impact has been softened this year. Next year, from what I got from Dave Wilkinson, it looks like, as of March 31st, 2011, a total of $9.6 million is available in a capital stabilization fund, $4.8 million which is being planned for this year, and another $4.8 million for the following year. So eventually, the big impact of seeing Newton North is really going to hit. So, you know, it's being subsidized right now, but that capital stabilization account is going to be gone. It's going to be gone because it was funded by one-time money reimbursement from all those older projects, and we're out of that. We're out of that money. Now, some of the other issues that I want to address. The concept, I think, that Alderman Fuller raised, that this is, in essence, a 26-year operating override. Well, any debt exclusion basically is going to be an override for that project. This is no different. Because it is put into because we absorb this into our operating budget, it's going to free up that amount of money. But we're not using that that amount of revenue for anything else but to pay that debt service. So I want to make that clear. I don't want it to be misinterpreted that this is somehow a sneaky way of getting an operating override, because it's not. It ends when we pay that debt service. In terms of debt exclusions for new capital projects, those still aren't going to address the fact that we have an operating deficit. We do. And we do in large part because we have a very big debt service for Newton North High School. Because even if we go forward with Anger, with Cabot, even with smaller projects like Day or with the fire stations, we still don't have enough money for our schools to be able to provide the breadth of programs that we really should. And frankly, when we talk about healing, we don't want to open old wounds. I guess I would argue and counter that we're actually letting an old wound become a sore that actually festers, because that's going to impact any operating override from now on. Because as long as it remains in our budget, everybody's going to remember that we're paying for this out of our operating. We did not do the responsible thing to do, which may have been at the time when we approved the budget, but we have that opportunity when we approved the project. But we have that opportunity now to deal with it responsibly.
Thank you, Alderman Sangiolo. Next I have Alderman Tamberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to associate myself with those who have argued that it would not be a good idea for us to open this up at this point to a debt exclusion override. I also appreciate the arguments of Alderman Sangiolo. However, I tend to think that this looks more like an operating override, because if you, for example, buy a car with your savings and income and decide that you really wanted to finance it, go out and finance it, and you put that money in your pocket with your other income, and someone says, well, do you want to... I don't agree with that particular model of car. I don't want you to use this money for that. Well, it's not the money on the top of the pile that I'm spending it on. It's the money on the bottom of the pile. And the money is going into one place, and it will be commingled. I think that what we need to do at this point, rather than go backwards, is to look forward, and I like the idea of matching our assets to our debt, and think that debt exclusion overrides are really the way to go for financing the schools, the elementary schools, and the fire stations, and other buildings and needs that we have. But I do not think that we ought to look back at this point and try and refinance something that already has its financing in place. We sold $140 million or so of bonds at probably the most favorable time that we could have sold them. And now we need to look forward and not look backwards.
Thank you, Alderman Tamberg. Next, we have Alderman Gentile.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, do not want to repeat the points that were made earlier. I voted against this in committee and intend to vote against it again tonight. But I guess there's one theme that I do want to pick up on, because I do care very much and I get concerned about the message that our constituents sometimes take home from discussions like this. And what I mean by that is that this notion that Newton North project is, you know, wholly responsible for all of the problems or the pressures that we have on our budget. I just think that isn't an accurate representation of how this city operates. And to take it to a further point, that if we hadn't built Newton North, that maybe we'd still have Latin in the middle schools. I don't think that it works that way. And I guess what I want to point out to people is, yes, Newton North's an expensive project. It ended up being more money than any of us wanted to have spent. All right, but we bond a lot of items. And in your packets, there was information on our debt. And if you read through it, you'll see that there's a heck of a lot more going on in the city than just the Newton North project. We're still paying for the Bowen Elementary renovations, Williams School renovations, Memorial Elementary Tier 1 renovations, Countryside School improvement, school building improvements just in general, school boiler improvements, Pierce School improvements, the South High School HVAC improvements, okay, Horace Mann Memorial Spalding improvements, Mason Rice Service School improvements, school roof repairs, school masonry repairs, school rooftop HVAC improvements, Horace Mann School window and door improvements, the Carr School boiler replacement, Brown Middle School window replacement, Angel boiler replacement, modular classrooms, Burr School windows, Ed Center generator, FA Day Middle School HVAC improvements, Underwood boiler replacements, South High School athletic field improvements. Then you get into public works, Countryside Road, public works equipment replacement, automated trash recycling carts, Elliott Street Yard fuel tank replacement, City Hall window repairs, City Hall boiler, public building energy conservation. We'll skip all of the MWRA items. Public safety, we all know about fire ladder replacements, fire engine replacements, fire station improvements. Okay, a couple of those that we've got bonded already. And the list goes on. So there's a lot of things that are going on in this city, improvements that we've made that we've had to bond for. So again, I understand, that North was also a considerable add-on to this, but there were a lot of things that we're doing, and if we were going to have a debt service override, maybe we should have done it for all these other projects. All right? But the fact of the matter, the only other point I want to make is, and again, I understand the pain that people are talking about in the schools. Even on the best day, if this were to go through, this would not impact this year's school budget. I mean, the item wouldn't go on the for a vote until the fall, so it would not impact the budget. So it's not going to have any impact on this year's school budget. So, again, I think most of us feel it is a tool, it is a mechanism that we have to look towards in the future, but if any kind of an override, whether it be debt service or operating, is ever going to pass in this city, we have to be very well organized. We have to make the case. It's going to take time. You're only going to get one shot to do it, and it has to be done right. And so this is not the time, and this is certainly not the item, so I would urge people to vote against it.
Thank you, Alderman Gentile. Next, I have Alderman Fishman, then Alderman Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have a couple of points. And the first point is, the mayor talked in his comments to us about wanting to have a more collaborative process. It seems to me that that's an important point, and what we have not heard from the mayor is his interest in doing the override and doing the debt override exclusion, pardon me. And and I've asked him about it. I think he's sort of gone on record about it. And when you look back on how the overrides have happened in the past, it's been through the leadership of the executive office that has gotten us there. And several of my colleagues, Alderman Gentile, just before me, talked about the enormous effort that it takes to do that, and I also believe it. You have probably one shot over several years, and without doing a pretty thorough job of outlining what that one shot's going to include, it's a dead on arrival kind of issue. I think a number of my colleagues have spoken about the presentation. They've alluded to it that we had last week from the superintendent and staff of the schools, and it was a fairly depressing presentation, not because they didn't do a good job and outline what was needed, because there was so much to do and so little funds that were available. The $5 million that the mayor set aside clearly is going to be inadequate, probably even before the whole sprinkler issue became apparent. So it just seems to me that before we would entertain this, we would have to do serious analysis. We would have to identify what the appropriate projects are. Certainly projects that would be across the board, that would balance into several neighborhoods, would start to make the case and tell the story. I don't think we have that. I do think, on the other hand, the introduction of this item that's been there for a few years by Alderman Sangiolo and former Alderman Brandel, I think it's been good to go through this. And I think, in a sense, we've developed a straw ballot by our comments that many of us see that as something that we may have to do. But this is probably not the year, and certainly not at this vote, to do it. And for that reason, I won't support this item at this time.
Thank you, Alderman Fishman. Next, I have Alderman Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank Alderman Sangiolo for bringing this forward, because I think, you know, we needed to have this discussion. I also want to associate myself with her remarks and Alderman Hesmahan's. However, at this time, I think there's an important element that I want to just raise. And one of the things years ago when I did sales training for a salesperson, you have to earn the right to advance. So in your steps to winning a sale. And I think Alderman Gentile talked about, you know, you have one shot at it. And I just don't think right at this time that the city is ready and has earned the right to advance with the citizens. I think we have made some giant steps forward around truth and transparency and communication and openness through both the executive department, the school committee, and this honorable board. But we have not earned the right to advance to this debt exclusion override. I supported the work back when this came forward. I didn't support the budget for Newton North. It was too expensive. And I think it was Alderman Sisson said we have to live with what we created. And as much as the pain of these budgets, I understand. But until the citizens feel that we are spending their dollars and cents wisely, I do not think we have earned the right to advance. So I will not be supporting it this evening.
Thank you, Alderman Johnson. Alderman Shapiro.
Thank you, Mr. President. A few years ago, the voters made it pretty clear that they were not in favor of a general fund override. I don't think there was much ambiguity in that vote. So I'm going to associate myself and my comments with those folks that made their views clear through their vote. Alderman Hesmahan mentioned that this is one of the worst economic downturns. I agree. I don't think it's appropriate to be asking the taxpayers for additional money, especially with Alderman Fuller's comments about it being, in essence, a general fund override. So I won't be voting in favor of this. I think that the voters and the city made it clear that you make choices, and the choices may not be too great. I'm not happy that the Latin's going away. I'm not happy that some of the AP courses are going away. My son benefited from some of those programs, and it is really unfortunate that some of that is going away. During the discussion when the school committee was here and the school budget was being presented, I asked what would be the top priorities to be added back in if we get some of the money that the mayor talked about earlier this evening, the additional $500,000, $600,000 or so from the state. I didn't receive an answer to that. So we really don't know what the prioritization of those programs and services may be, but obviously we need to fund the programs and the people that provide the programs, our professional educators, and give them the tools and resources that's so important. So no, I'm not thrilled about this budget at all. I don't think anybody is, but the choice was to either build a $250 million building, although at the time the aldermen that were here didn't realize it was a $250 million building. I'm using Alderman Blazer's number. So, you know, after $200 million, it's a little hard to keep track of the extra half, the extra $50 million or so. But so it comes down to we have a gorgeous building, a learning environment that we can all be very proud of. Whether or not we have kids going to that school, my daughter goes to South, but I'm still very proud of North. It's a gorgeous facility that I hope we'll all be proud of for the next 50 to 100 years, not 30 like the last one. But we had to give something up, and we gave up some programs. It's terrible. But we did actually make the choices that the mayor talks about. There are tough choices to be made all the time. We ran over budget. Somebody wasn't watching the purse strings the way they should have been. I'm sorry, but that's what happened. And we need to be a little more careful, maybe a lot more careful going forward. And the cost overruns were so high that even if an override of any type, a debt exclusion or whatever, if the debt exclusion had been passed back then, we'd be back asking for more money right now because it wasn't enough. So either way, we would be trying to go back and reach into the wallets and pocketbooks of people that live here in the city. And this isn't the time for that. And, you know, one of the things that concerned me that I've heard from a couple of folks is that we only get one shot at it coming up. I do agree with that, but the fact that we would have to sell something that hard and dedicate a year with a team of people to sell something to the voters, it kind of makes you question whether the voters really want it. So I think going forward, sure, I'll consider a debt exclusion override, absolutely, because the elementary schools are falling apart. When my godson went to service, there was no heat in two or three of the classrooms. They had to move the kids around. There's not enough space. It's ridiculous. All right, Newton, Massachusetts, that shouldn't be happening at all, ever. We also need to be careful about what projects we bring in, what new development, take into consideration the capacity of the schools.
Alderman Shapiro, you're at 90 seconds,
please.
It's been a motion for an additional time of 90 seconds. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. My point, obviously, is that the decisions that we make are all choices, difficult financial choices that express our values. And the value that we expressed with Newton North was we want our kids to have the best possible facility in order to learn. There's nothing wrong with that. I thought building Newton North the way it is was a terrific idea. But we should have done it for $50 or $70 million less, and that part is an embarrassment. And to go back and ask the voters to do, in essence, a Newton bailout because it was messed up in the process, it's not appropriate. Going forward, fine. You know, let's ask for a debt service. The mayor can plan out with the capital improvement. That's fine. We can all take a look at that. So going forward, you know, let's consider it. But there is no way I could possibly support what is, in essence, a retroactive debt exclusion bailout. Thank you.
Thank you. Fix it, Alderman Harney.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to associate my comments with those of Alderman Hess-Mahan, Alderman Sangiorlo, Alderman Linsky. You know, way back 2007, 2008, some of us thought a good way to finance the high school would be a debt exclusion back then. And Alderman Parker was one of the people that took the lead, Alderman Sangiorlo, a few of us, and that was shot down. So, you know, the citizens never really had a chance to vote on how to pay for this high school. And, you know, unfortunately,
the problems with the high school go way back to when I think it was originally, what, $105 million we were going to build the high school, and then we got the Christmas surprise that was going to be $125 million suddenly, and I remember talking with Alderman Coletti, telling him that, you know, we really can't afford more than $120 to $125 million high school. The biggest mistake that was made back then was hiring a world-renowned architect, Graham Gunn, who is not world-renowned for designing schools. And the thing got was a runaway train. And next thing we know, it's $141 million. And I did not support that site plan, and I didn't support the final funding for the high school. I just thought we were going to be facing what we're facing now, which is a serious financial problem. You know, our cash is just, we're in a difficult position. So I remember talking with some of my school friends going to school committee meeting a couple weeks ago and talking to some of the parents afterwards and trying to explain to them what a debt exclusion was. And I just happened to have the information that Alderman Sangiolo had gotten from the comptroller, and I kind of showed them what the amount was going to be every year that was going towards the debt service. And, you know, $9 million for the next 10 years, $8 million after that for the next 10 years. And we had a little conversation. And I said, if this was paid for by a debt exclusion, it would probably raise the average homeowner's taxes somewhere in the ballpark of $300, maybe a little more. But it would free up this amount of cash that we have. When we were talking about the school budget, when the superintendent presented it, I talked to a lot of people afterwards, and you know, it's the most often comment that was made was, well, you know, we did the best we could with the cards we were dealt. You know, we made the best out of a really difficult situation. And I do commend the superintendent and the members of the school committee for working really, really hard and coming up with, you know, the best we could do with the cards we were dealt. If this were to pass, there's some new cards being dealt. And, you know, it could free up an awful lot of money to take care of some of our needs because given the rising cost of health care and all the rising costs and our growth revenue stagnating around 3%, we're going to be facing a serious, as Alderman Sangiolo pointed out, some serious cash shortfalls coming up in the next few years. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to be paid for. This is a mechanism that would give us that opportunity, so I'll be supporting this.
Thank you, Alderman Harney. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on item 2? Alderman Sangiolo and Alderman Baker.
I'm not going to add anything except the one concept that keeps coming up is this, we only get one shot at this. And if I leave you with nothing else, even as expected that this will go down, this will not be approved, get out of that mindset. Because you can't keep thinking that you only have one shot and that all overrides have to be a well-financed, heavily run campaign. Because communities that surround us that are very successful in dealing with their capital needs and dealing with their operating needs keep going back to the voters. I agree with Alderman Johnson that you have to earn it. You have to give them a good case. But it's not about shoving an override down someone's throat. It's about convincing them that this is the right thing to do. So get rid of that mindset that there's only a one-shot deal. Because if that's the case, I would be very concerned that we use that one-shot deal with the override that failed recently. And I don't want to believe that that's the only shot we've got, because we will need more money.
Alderman Baker.
Thank you, Mr. President. I can't support the item. I just want to associate myself with the comments of those who've expressed reservations about it and just remind members of the board and the public that this honorable board voted 9 times, if my memory is right, in favor by a two-thirds margin, in favor of the financing of Newton North because it felt that the project was worthwhile, notwithstanding the challenges it poses to the city's fiscal health. At the same time, I think it's important to recognize that the Blue Ribbon Commission before us, before the first first Blue Ribbon Commission, and then the Citizen Advisory Group pointed out that ultimately the city is going to have to face a choice about whether to ask the citizens to increase the revenues available to all programs in the city, not just one particular project, or whether to bear what amounts to the in-kind tax of decreased services and decreased opportunity and decreased quality of life. And that frame of vote is not really before us. I think it's ultimately one we're going to have to face at some point, but I agree we need to do the homework in order to do that well. So I respectfully appreciate the work that's been done by colleagues who support this item, but I can't support this item tonight. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak on item 20708? Seeing none, I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll. Before we adjourn to our only item on second call, I'm going to take 1 minute to recognize President Emeritus Baker to just give us a quick update on the reprecincting committee that was held earlier. So at this time, seeing no other speakers, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll on item 20708.
Alderman Albright.
No.
Alderman Baker.
No.
Alderman Blazer.
No.
Alderman Ciccone.
No.
Alderman Crossley.
No.
Alderman Danberg.
No.
Alderman Fishman.
No.
Alderman Friedman.
No.
Alderman Fuller.
No.
Alderman Gentile.
No.
Alderman Harney.
Aye.
Alderman Hesmahan.
Aye.
Alderman Johnson.
No.
Alderman Lappin.
No.
Alderman Linsky.
Aye.
Alderman Merrill.
No.
Alderman Wright. Alderman Salvucci.
No.
Alderman Sangiolo.
Aye.
Alderman Schnipper.
Yes.
Alderman Shapiro.
No.
Alderman Swiston.
No.
Alderman Yates.
No.
President Lennon.
No.
The vote is 19 nays, 4 yeas, with 1 absent.
19 nays, 4 yeas, 1 absent. The item fails to carry. Before I recognize Alderman Linsky, I'd like to recognize President Emeritus Baker.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is just a brief report and update, really, but also an advisory to members of the board. Those of you who are in attendance at the reprecinct committee meeting that took place before this meeting know that there were two maps on the wall in the committee room to our right, and I would encourage you to go revisit those maps because the one on the left constitutes the most recent product of the work of the Secretary of State, in which there's an attempt to try and equalize the population distribution in the city by ward and keep the ward lines as close as possible to what currently exists. That map, if you will look at it, has black lines that show the existing wards and precincts and colored areas which represent the newly proposed ward. The difference is that that particular map on the left has a 3 precincts per ward outcome, whereas the one on the right, which is an older one from 2 weeks ago, is a 4 precinct model. The committee, as you may recall, those of you who are there, but others who are not should know, reached a determination to work around the map on the left with possible adjustments on the ward lines depending on where there needs to be some for some good cause. But to assuming those lines are stable, to try and look at how a 3 or a 4 precinct model would work, but with recognition of the aspect of preserving as much neighborhood opportunity to stay together as well as convenient access to polling locations. That's going to be the task of the next round of activity in the committee as we come back. The specific reason I raise this tonight is not only to inform the public, but also to ask any member of the board, but specifically the ward alderman, to look at the ward lines that are in the map on the left, because if there are no changes proposed, and I would ask you to indicate if there's anything you want to see changed, to indicate to the clerk by the end of the week, because we've got to move forward on this, then I would ask the ward alderman specifically, in consultation with their colleagues, to look at the precinct organization within that ward line to see see if there are any adjustments that may be necessary or advisable because of polling locations or neighborhood arrangements or otherwise, so that we can get to two models to look at next time, which consist of a ward lines that's relatively fixed, and then work on the question of what the precincts ought to be, whether three or four. So that's where we are, and so the task is, if you have any ward line adjustments, to think about those and get those into the mix right away, and then think about the secondary question of what the precincts might be under either a three or four precinct model. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President Emeritus. The maps that Alderman Baker is referencing are in on the wall in room 222. We also do excuse me? They're on on the table now. Are they still left and right, though? All right, I just want to make sure.
And we're going to see about getting an electronic version for people to look at, because obviously it's very hard to examine these when multiple people want to look at them at the same time.
Right. And we also do have a tab on the Board of Aldermen webpage for the previous reports, and the next meeting of the reprecincting committee will be before our next full board meeting on May 2nd. Before I recognize Alderman Linsky, I did just want to mention Alderman Shapiro, Alderman Yates, and Alderman Swiston were our team for the Kids in Jeopardy event, and they were back in their seats before the seat even got cold. So I just want to let everyone know that. But they did a good job. I think the ultimate winner was the firefighters defeated the mayor's office.
Wow.
So we want to thank them for participating on our behalf. And if seeing no other business before the board, I recognize Alderman Linsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Motion to adjourn.
All in favor of the motion to adjourn will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The meeting is adjourned at 9:38.